Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Before we start, I would like to offer up a prayer to the Lord. Lord, in this very moment, hallelujah, as I preach your word, I ask that you open up the understandings and the minds of everybody listening, and that you open up their hearts so that your word can penetrate and enter, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know the circumstances or the diseases or the problems that your people may be facing in this very moment, Lord, but I do know that you are a God of the impossible, that you are a God that does miracles. So I ask that you start working in them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So now I would like you to open up your Bibles to James chapter 4, verse 8. The name of this message is Draw Near to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In these days, the world has succeeded in getting the attention of the youth. Through video games, books, television, social media, the minds of today's youth have been enslaved. The world has succeeded in pushing thoughts of God far from the minds of the youth. How tragic. How sad. But that's not it. There's more. The youth of today have been enslaved through other means, through drugs, through alcohol. The lives of today's young men and women have been destroyed. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, so remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of adversity come and the years approach when you will say, I have no delight in them. The youth of today have forgotten their Creator. This is a wake-up call. In today's classrooms, teachers are telling students that human life evolved from monkeys and that the world began through the Big Bang Theory, where nothing came from, that something came from nothing. Even in today's textbooks, humans are being regarded as animals. How far we have come from what God intended us to be. But I'm veering off subject. The world is enslaving the youth in many ways. Let me ask you something. How is being on social media all the time helping you? How is watching television for hours and hours, being glued to the screen, helping you? How is smoking and drinking alcohol helping you? Let me tell you, it's not helping you at all. In fact, besides harming and damaging your body, it's damaging your soul. Your soul is a part of you that God created that will last forever. Your soul is getting lost forever because of it. Let me tell you something. There is an enemy that wants to destroy your life and your soul. Ever since the times of Adam and Eve, he has wanted to harm us. That's why nowadays there are such things as drugs and video games and such. He's behind all of that. You need to understand, the enemy does not want you to go to heaven when you die. He wants to distract you. All these things, social media, drugs, alcohol, are distractions. Watching too much television is a distraction. If you're driving and you get distracted, what happens besides getting in an accident? You veer off the path. You get lost. You lose control. You go in the opposite direction you want to go in, and yes, you crash. Your soul wants to go to heaven because it wants to go where its creator is. But if you distract it, it will get lost. There are two possible places for your soul to go when you die, heaven or hell. If you distract your soul from going to heaven, where will it go? Now, some people say, I thought God was love. Why is he sending me to hell? I don't want to go to hell. But let me tell you something. God does not force you to go anywhere you don't want to go. If you chose to live a life separated from God, if you chose to rebel against God, if you did not want to know anything about God, God will give you what you asked for in eternity separated from him. But you may say, but I'm not asking to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I'm a good person. Well, I'll address being a good person in a little bit, but you may not say or think that you want to go to hell, but your actions show it. If you spend your times in things that are not godly, then those are your actions speaking. It's not your words or your thoughts. Maybe it's, but it's your actions. And for those people that say, I'm a good person. I shouldn't go to hell because I'm a good person. You know, good people, as defined by normal standards, are people who don't cheat, people who don't lie, people who don't steal, people who don't kill. But as defined by God's standards, a good person is someone who follows God's commandments, who does everything that God commands. And God only wants the good for all of us. He doesn't want any harm to come to us. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, I have good plans for you, plans to build you up and not to tear you down. So God is only seeking your good. So God doesn't force you to go anywhere you don't want to go. Let me give you an example. Suppose you went on vacation to a nice place and you didn't know where to go and you hired a tour guide. The tour guide, if he were nice, would guide you to all the popular restaurants, beaches, you know, the nice scenic lookouts, places with nice views, etc. But he would also tell you, don't go over there. There's a swamp over there. Or, you know, don't go over there because there's a forest and you might get lost. Or if you go over there, you know, there are known sharks that are known to come out of the water and you know, eat people and all that stuff. So in the same way, God doesn't force you to go anywhere you don't want to go. God only gives you the option. God is saying, look, if you follow me, if you do my will, if you obey my commandments, you can come live with me and spend eternity with me in heaven. But if you choose to rebel against me, if you choose to go against my commands, if you choose to go against what I've told you to do, then you are actually paving your own way. You're deciding to go to somewhere that I told you not to go to. Because if you do all the things that God tells you not to do, then you're paving your own way. You're going the opposite way that he's telling you. So then in that sense, you're going to hell by your own choice. You're choosing to spend eternity without God. And so I ask you in this very moment, I now want to close off this message by telling you, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now, there are many people who say, well, I'll draw near to God later. Right now, I'd rather enjoy myself. I'm young. You know, I want to smoke. I want to drink. I want to, you know, play video games. I want to enjoy myself. Maybe I'll draw near to God when I'm 50, 60, 70. But hold on a minute. You don't even know if you're going to live up to 50, 60, 70, much less if you're going to live up to tomorrow. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Tomorrow only exists in a calendar. The only option you have is today. And if you hold it off, then who knows if, you know, tomorrow you're going to be alive. And by that point, your eternal destiny will have been settled. And so now, to those who think that there is no God and, you know, that's why they haven't given their lives to God, let me tell you something. Let me give you a wager. Suppose I, all my life, believed that there's a God. I served him. I worshiped him. And at the end of my life, I die. And I come to discover, oops, there's no God. There's just nothing. What did I lose? Nothing. But if you, on the other hand, live a life separated from God, rebelling against God, choosing to go against commandments, believing that there is no God, and you know, you live your life the way you want to, and at the end of your life, you come to discover, oops, there's God. What do you lose? You lose everything. You lose your eternal destiny. You lose something valuable, your soul. Your soul will get lost. And you will be condemned to an eternity without God. And let me tell you right now, that whatever pain that you have ever experienced in this life, whatever sorrow, whatever sadness, whatever tribulation, whatever trial, whatever suffering you have ever had to experience on this earth is nothing in comparison to the trial, to the torment, to the suffering that is awaiting you in hell if you choose to live without God. It's a choice. Nobody's forcing you. God is not forcing you to go to hell. God is not God. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. John chapter 3 verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God came in human flesh to die for our sins. He came to save us so that we wouldn't go to hell. So that God, because the verse 17 says, God is not willing for anybody to be condemned. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But the reason that many people go to hell is because they preferred to spend their entire lives separated from God, doing whatever they wanted, doing whatever they pleased, spending their time in worthless things so that at the end of their life, they could discover that all the things that they spent their time doing was worthless. So I ask you now to make a decision. It's a decision that will make the difference between you spending your life, your eternity with God or without God. And let me tell you something, that if you make the choice to spend your life with God, your joy begins now. Many people think, oh, heaven begins as soon as I die. No, heaven begins as soon as you accept God into your heart. Because suddenly, now I'm not guaranteeing that when you accept God, all your problems are going to go away. That's not what God promised. God never promised that life would be easy. But he promised that it would be worth it, all the things that we would suffer. So if you accept God, the joy of heaven starts now. Because in your everyday life, you implement God. So all the trials that you now have are made less in comparison to God, because your problems are not as great in comparison to our mighty God. But let me tell you that if you refuse to accept God, just as heaven doesn't begin when you go to heaven, hell doesn't begin when you go to hell. It starts in your present life. Now, you may say, oh, but I don't need God. You know, I'm happy. I have all the things that I need to be happy. You know, and there are other people. First of all, you know, you, in the very depths of your heart, you may try to mask it with, you know, all the diversions that this world offers. But in the very depths of your heart, there is no peace. You don't have peace with God. And many people on the other side of the spectrum say, oh, they are so frustrated. They are so dissatisfied. They feel so purposeless, so without meaning, that they try to find meaning to their life by getting rich, by getting famous, by buying a house, by buying a car. But even if they had everything, even if they had the best house that the world has to offer, even if they had all the money that the world has to offer, even if they had all the fame, they'll come to discover that all that will not fill the empty hole that they have in their heart. And that hole can only be filled with Jesus Christ. So my friend, I ask you not to delay. There is no time for delays. You do not know. How do you know that in the next hour, you won't have an accident? And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that so that you will take conscience, so that you will take notice. How do you know that in the next hour, you won't have an accident, or you will die of a sudden, you know, of a sudden cause? So I ask you now, come to God. God is not a tyrant. Many people don't want to come to God because they believe that God is a tyrant. They believe that God only wants to do them harm. God is looking for everything but to do you harm. God is looking to build you up. God is looking to help you. God is looking to give you a good future. God is looking for ways to bless you. The only reason that God sometimes doesn't bless someone is because they themselves close the door on God. They themselves close the door and they don't want to open it. But God is knocking at your door right now. In fact, let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And it says this. See, I stand at the door and knock. God, let me tell you something, is a gentleman. He will not force his way into anybody's life. He will not force his way into anybody's heart. Your heart has a door, and you have the key. You can close that door, or you can open that door. God is knocking on the door. He's not pounding on the door. He's not kicking down the door. But even as your Lord and your and but even as God and Lord, he wants you to open the door. He wants you to open the door and give him the key to your heart so that he can be your Lord and Savior. It says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. God is making an invitation. God wants to come into your heart. And God wants to fill you. God wants you to be full of his presence and full of his spirit. In the depths of your heart, you may not know it, but your soul is crying out to God. Your soul is crying out for that one thing that will quench your thirst. All the things of this world. You know, many people use drugs and alcohol to be happy. Many people use video games to distract themselves from the problems of this world. But let me tell you that all those things cannot fill. They can satisfy temporarily, but nothing permanent. After spending some time with the things that the world has to offer, you will find yourself still thirsting. And you can try and try and try to block out the feeling from your heart, to block out the cry of your soul. But your soul is crying out. Your soul is crying out to God. And so all you have to do is to open up your heart to the Lord. You have to open up your heart because he wants to come in. And so I want to pray in this very moment so that you can make that final decision. Remember, it's your decision. No one is imposing it on you. No one is forcing you to do something you don't want to do. God doesn't force you. But God does yearn. God does want for you to accept him. So in this very moment, let's pray. Lord, in this very moment, I come before you and I present to you everybody who wants to accept you as your Lord and as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we know that you don't force anybody to do anything that they don't want to do, that you only knock and it's up to us to open the door. I ask you, Lord, that for every struggling soul, that for every person, Lord, who in this very moment is suffering, and they don't know what to do. Or for those youth who have spent their entire lives playing video games on social media, Lord, that you would enlighten their minds, that you would come to their hearts, and that you would make them understand that video games and social media is not all that there is to life. That there is much more. And that you, Lord, are the only one who can fulfill our thirst. That you're the only one who can quench our thirst. And so we come to you, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, that in this very moment you come. And for all those who are thirsty, who are seeking for you, come to them, Lord. Come and fill their hearts, Lord. And that many will accept you as their Lord and Savior, Lord. And that they will give you the keys to their hearts and to their lives. Because we have to give you the key, Lord. We cannot take control of our hearts. We cannot take control of our lives. And even if we tried, it would be a disaster. You're the only one who can help us. So we ask you that you come into the hearts of the youth now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless you, everybody. And tomorrow, we will continue with another message from the word of the Lord.